blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Friends, praise God for the freedom we have here to worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today we are pleased to welcome back to the pulpit Jane Meeker, our licensed lay worship leader. Would you join me in today's call to worship? From the old to the new, from darkness to light, we gather as people reconciled to God and to one another. As ambassadors of Christ, we come to worship, to proclaim the message of reconciliation and to embody it in our lives. So, let us put aside the old and put on the new. Let us see ourselves and one another through the eyes of Christ. Come, let us worship the one who makes all things new and who has entrusted us with the ministry of reconciliation. And as we seek to be made new in Christ today, let us light the Christ candle, remembering that it is through His work that we are reconciled to God. Let us gather in unity in the presence of God to pray. Eternal lover of our wayward race, we praise you for your ever open door. You open your arms to accept us even before we turn to meet your welcome. You invite us to forgiveness even before our hearts are softened to repentance. Hold before us the image of our humanity made new, that we may live in Jesus Christ, the model and the pioneer of your new creation. Amen. Let us come humbly to confess our sins to God, who is faithful and just, yet overflows with mercy for his children. Let us pray the prayer of confession together. God of mercy and compassion, as we journey through Lent, we acknowledge the ways we've fallen short. We confess our failures to love our neighbours, our neglect of the marginalised, and our indifference to the suffering of others. We recognise the ways our own biases and privileges have blinded us to the needs of others. Forgive us, God, for our complicity in systems of injustice and oppression. As we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, may our confession be met with your mercy and forgiveness. May we be renewed in our commitment to follow Jesus' path of love, justice, reconciliation, and compassion. Amen.
Welcome home. Jesus and his remarkable household welcome sinners and even eats with the likes of us. We are forgiven, and God's people say, Amen.
The reading for today comes from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
According to the Cambridge Academic Content Dictionary, the true meaning of reconciliation is the process of making two people, or groups of people, friendly again after they've argued seriously, or fought and kept apart from each other, or any situation in which that happens. Today we have those wonderful verses from Paul in his letters to the Corinthians sharing the ministry of reconciliation. Paul, who held the cloaks of those who were persecuting Christians, who said his main objective was to wipe out the Christians, and who took great delight in stoning his fellow man. Shortly after his approval of the stoning of Stephen, and what we know of Stephen is that he was a deacon in an early church at Jerusalem who had angered members of various synagogues by his teachings. Accused of blasphemy at his trial, he made a speech denouncing the Jewish authorities who were sitting in judgment on him, and then was stoned to death. And Paul, today's Paul, participated in that stoning. Well, on the road to Damascus, and you can find all of this out if you want to read Acts chapter 9, Paul has been set out to find all the Christians and bring them all back for persecution. And it's well on that trip that Jesus takes over Paul's life. A bright light flashes around him. Paul falls to his knees. And what Paul hears is Jesus saying, "Why do you persecute me?" Paul is then blinded, and he spends 3 days not eating or drinking. Ananias goes to Paul. Now, Christ had come to Ananias in a dream and tells him to go to Paul. So he tells Paul that Christ wants to fill him with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus sets Paul on the straight path, and Paul's life is forever changed. He was baptized, and he became this follower and apostle of Christ. Paul actually spent much of his new life in Christ traveling and spreading the Christian message to non-Jewish communities. Around 50 to 52 AD, Paul spends about 18 months in Corinth and establishes the church. And it's after Paul has left Corinth that he writes them from Ephesus. Douglas Campbell writes, "Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians, now lost, in the fall of 50 CE. The Corinthians pushed back quite hard, and they wrote a letter of reply to Paul with a number of questions. So in the spring of 51 CE, he wrote a longer letter, which is now called 1 Corinthians. And that is where we start to build up a more detailed picture of the community, and it was not a pretty sight. Corinth was a cosmopolitan community with the same loose morals and materialistic outlook that we currently live in. And the church was a mess. So Paul writes his letters in an attempt to smooth the waters of the church, to make them realize that in order to be made one in Christ, reconciliation is the answer. And it is only when we are reconciled to Christ that our faith, our lives, our souls will feel the refreshment of the Holy Spirit. And he gives them a firsthand accounting of what it is like to be reconciled with God. He knows that he is a walking testament to a life totally changed. If anyone is in Christ, any one of us, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. You are made in the image of God. And if I am made in God's image, I'm a reflection of the reconciliation that I have with Christ. Reconciliation is actually the big word for today. In the 6 verses, Paul actually says the word 5 times. April the 6th, 2018. Seems like a very long time ago. Yet for those parents directly affected by that day, it will be a day that they will never forget. The date, unless you're directly related to those families involved, it might not be very firm in your mind. Some of you are probably trying to think of what I'm talking about right now. I actually had to look up the date. So before I say what the event was, I want to read you a snippet from a newspaper article. She knew she needed to forgive him because he didn't want her or her kids to be living in anger. I knew I needed to forgive him. And I knew before when I was writing the victim impact statement that our son Darcy would expect and want from us as a family. She also said she feels compassion because she knows he didn't intend for the crash to happen. Honestly, seeing him, my heart breaks for him. His life turned upside down too. While it was a preventable mistake, it was a mistake. And we've all made mistakes. Darcy's parents also made impact statements saying they knew he did not wake up that morning with the intention of harming others. And they said Darcy never held a grudge. And we choose to honor Darcy's memory by extending the grace, the compassion, and forgiveness that he would have offered to you. Now, some of you know that I'm referring to that horrific Humboldt, Saskatchewan bus crash. The bus of hockey players headed to a game were hit from the side by a semi-driver who had gone through a stop sign. Made the news all over the world. All the lives that were changed in a blink of an eye. Families lost loved ones. And families are still dealing with life-changing medical conditions. And families are grieving for the loss of what their life once was and a future altered forever. Not just the families of those on the bus, but the family of the semi-driver as well. Darcy's parents said he did not wake up that morning with the intention of harming others. Forgiveness and reconciliation go hand in hand. As I mentioned earlier, reconciliation is the act of making things right. Forgiveness is to stop having resentment. So the Greek word translated as forgive in the New Testament, aphemi, carried a wide range of meanings, including to remit a debt or to leave something or someone alone, to allow an action, to leave or to send away, to desert or abandon, and even to divorce. In fact, that Greek word appears 146 times in the New Testament, but it's translated in most of the English versions as forgive only 38 of those times. Paul is begging the people of Corinth to be reconciled to God, to make things right with God. Unfortunately, our human nature is to react by responding blow for blow or hurt for hurt. We want our words and our actions to hurt. So how do we react instead of answering hurt with more hurt? In the Holy Spirit school division that I worked in for 23 years, they held regular PD days for support staff. So the division staff and the support staff all were included in that day, and I have to admit that most times I was not exactly excited to go. I could have used a vacation day, but I didn't really want to waste a vacation day just sitting at home. And this was in February when it was miserably cold out. So I went, begrudgingly, not impressed that the whole PD day was going to be just listening to one keynote speaker. From 9 to 3, we were to sit and listen. Oh, yeah, yeah, they gave us lunch and they gave us coffee breaks, but still. And I have to say that by the end of that day, with this one speaker, I had a splitting headache. She was incredible. She was this incredibly gifted speaker, so gifted that I forgot to drink water all day. I hadn't been hydrating. She had us laughing so hard that tears were running down our cheeks. And in the next moment, she would tell us things that were so touching that we were choking back the tears. It was one of the most emotional days I have ever spent with a keynote speaker. And I don't think I will ever forget it. And one of my favorite quotes, and she has many, is this: mad is just sad's bodyguard. Mad is just sad's bodyguard. Dr. Jody Carrington. She was speaking to educational assistants, admin support, all the division staff, all the caretakers, about how they were doing the holy work. They were dealing with kids who are angry, mad, frustrated, alone, and disconnected. Kids and adults, all humans respond to uncomfortable situations in one of three ways: flight, fright, or freeze. When something happens that we are not able to handle, we do one of those three things, and they are the only responses that we know. The holy work done in schools by the educational assistants is dealing with those students who hit and kick and bite and spit and call you names. But each day, that educational assistant will go back to work with that same child, building a rapport, letting them know that there is someone there that cares about them, forgetting about what they did the other day, moving forward from that hurt, from the reactions, to a safer, calmer space. They forgive, and the school becomes that safe place. Now, some of the parents of the Humboldt tragedy who were interviewed early said that they were not at that place where they could offer forgiveness yet. They were still devastated with the loss of their child. Forgiveness wasn't in play. For them, they wanted, for lack of a better word, revenge. They wanted the semi-driver to feel the same pain they were going through. They wanted blow for blow, hurt for hurt. I'm hopeful, and I pray that all of the families have been able to move forward. Slow steps. It reminded me of another quote from Jody Carrington: do the next brave thing, even if that brave thing is small. Forgiveness is not easy. Reconciliation is not easy. Our lives as Christians was not meant to be easy. And as Charles Bug writes, to answer hurt with forgiveness is plausible only because Christ is our strength. The words today from 2 Corinthians remind me of Joseph, that young boy thrown in the pit and sold by his brothers. Years go by and he survives and flourishes. And when they finally come face to face with him, not knowing who he is, they discover that even though they have lived uncomfortably with their lives and actions, and it hasn't been a great life, that their brother Joseph has moved on. And Joseph then forgave them for what they did. And to show them they were forgiven, he offers them a chance at reconciliation. Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me. God sent me before you to preserve life. Alan Johnson writes, reconciliation is possible in facing our own frailties, vulnerabilities, and even hostilities, we come to understand that divine purposes are at work. When Joseph looked back at his own life, he saw the working of the hand of God. Everything he went through had to happen for him to be at the place he was when he stood in front of his brothers. And we are all like Joseph, going through these uncomfortable situations and getting through to the other side. And we need to see that all we go through, every event, has the hand of God written in it. Everything that happens with St. Stephen's Church has the hand of God written in it. Everything that happened to Paul is a testament to the hand of God working in his life. He writes his letters to the Corinthians to show them that they can have what he has. They can have new lives in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. How we react to those storms, those uncomfortable situations in our lives with either flight, fright, or freeze, how we speak to others, how we call on God to be with us, all of this is the good news of the gospel. It's not the easy news. It's the good news. Within our storms, God is working in our lives because every decision that we make, every step we take, God is inviting us into a reconciled relationship. Paul's last words in chapter 5, "Be reconciled to God. God had Christ, who had no sin, carry our sins to the cross for us, so that through Christ we become the righteousness of God." I'm blessed because I have a woman that sends amazing stuff into my email inbox. Her name is Kate Bowler, and I know that Diane probably has mentioned her at some point as well. And she has this marvelous sermon series for us to utilize during Lent. And these are her words as she shines light on how all of this reconciliation works for us. Reconciliation is initiated by God and has been completed as far as God is concerned. And yet Paul reminds us that we have to keep practicing reconciliation within ourselves and with others. We get to keep living into the goodness as God's new creation and love. Christ died and was resurrected for us. And this is how we become the righteousness of God. Amen. Service for Jesus.
Good morning. For the prayers for the people this morning, I'm going to do it responsively and leave spaces between the sections and wherever you are in the wonderful world of internet. I hope that you will be able to add your own petitions as we go. I'm going to finish each section by saying, Lord, in your mercy, and you can answer, hear our prayer. Let's pray together. Gracious God, these are tough times for many of us. Political turmoil, verbal insults and lies about our national identity, even our sovereignty. Please help us to rise above. People who were our friends in the United States of America are still our friends. Striking back is not your teaching. Support us in tolerance, kindness, and loving others. Stop us from spreading hatred and distrust of neighbors. Keep us united. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, be with those who are suffering in mind, body, or spirit. Heal those who are sick or recovering. Stay close to those who grieve the loss of a loved one. And I would ask that you now name those on your hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, help us to care for your creation. Empower us to act on even the smallest thing to support and nurture the amazing world you gave us. Make us better stewards. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Gracious God, give us ears and hearts to hear and discern who should govern our country and lead us forward. We pray for all the candidates who have found the courage to step forward to represent us in our ridings and to positions of political leadership. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, bless our minister Diane and all the staff who work so hard at St. Stephen's. Bless all the volunteers who give their time and imagination to the ministries here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for your abundant love and mercy. We thank you for the invitation to come and receive what we cannot earn but only accept in grace. Help us to turn away from the things that do not satisfy and to seek you with all our hearts. In this season of Lent, renew us, O Lord, and lead us into the fullness of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we offer these prayers and our own petitions to you. Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, the three in one. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us and his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we consider the ways that God shows his love and faithfulness towards us, let us turn back to him in gratitude and offer back to him a portion of all that he has given us. And would you pray with me over all the gifts that have been given to the work of God here at St. Stephen's this week? Dear God, we offer you our gratitude and gifts, symbolizing our commitment to embracing new beginnings and trusting in your guidance. May our offerings nurture growth, renewal, and transformation in our fellowship, our community, and within each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, I have an announcement and an announcement. Most of the first announcement, I'm sure most of you already have heard, that I have decided that it's time for me to retire this year. So I will be doing that in August, partway through the summer. And because of that, the congregation is in the process of doing the work they need to do in order to find their next minister. And part of that work is going to involve a congregational meeting that needs to happen on April the 6th. So that's two Sundays from now. It will be an in-person meeting here, so we will gather on that Sunday for one in-person service, a combined service at 10 a.m., and then we will have a congregational meeting after that for the congregation to approve the documents that need to be in place in order for us to start the search for the new minister. So that involves a community of faith profile, a document that basically describes who we are to prospective ministers, a job description, and a financial summary. So those have to be approved in our polity by the congregation, so we need to gather to do that. So this is your first Sunday's notice on that. You'll get another one next Sunday, and then on April 6th, we will gather. If you are local, I really, really encourage you to try to come to that meeting, because the decisions made as we go through this process are very much going to affect the day-to-day life at St. Stephen's for you all. So I hope we'll see you there.
May the blessing of the God of life, the Christ of love, and the Spirit of grace be with you now and always. Amen.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Redeemer. Imagine.